Hey, and welcome, Alex Jubaley, with another episode of the Ja Podcast. On today's episode, I have a very special guest, but before I introduce him and bring him on, I just want to catch you guys up. Things have been pretty busy on my end. CEO, we didn't officially announce that we will be requiring vaccinations or negative COVID tests to give anybody with, you know, personal beliefs and all that. I respect all walks of life. So, but mostly everyone's pretty much ready to go and they're like, I'm vaccinated. This was easy mode. So let's have fun. And so CEO pretty much filled back up and I'm really excited about that. I have the confidence now to put on the event. We're as prepared as we can be. So I'm looking forward to that. And then been working on a lot of DreamHack stuff. We had to cancel or postpone officially our November Atlanta event, but we will be back in California and Anaheim in February of 2022. So I'm very excited about that. But today you all are here for a new good friend of mine, Adam Cole. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good to be on here today.
Welcome. Adam Cole has just jumped over to All Elite Wrestling, had an amazing debut. But today we're going to talk about gaming and only gaming.
Yes.
So if you want to know his history and with NXT for 4 years, Ring of Honor before that, New Japan a bit, head over to Chris Jericho's podcast, Talk is Jericho.
Yeah.
You did that last week. How was that interviewing with him?
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, I've been a big fan of Chris Jericho my entire life. I've been a big fan of his podcast my entire life. So it was really, really cool getting to go on there and talk with him a little bit.
Yeah. And, you know, my first memory of Chris is when I was appearing backstage at AEW events supporting Kenny and the company. The second time I went to a show and I had met Chris the one prior, he walks by and goes, hey, Alex, what's up? And I just froze. I'm like, he knows my first name now. Like, it felt so comfortable and real. And it was super cool to talk to at that time. But yeah, if you want anything wrestling, talk there. But you and I, we kind of go way back for a little bit, talking about gaming, your Twitch channel, which is killing it, the Chugs, twitch.tv/Chugs.
Yeah.
The Chugs, sorry. How did you get that name?
So funny enough, this is where the name comes from. So, you know, if you have a friend who's like 7 feet tall, 600 pounds, and people as a joke would call them tiny.
Oh, yeah.
I got the name Chugs because I am horrible at chugging drinks, period. It doesn't matter if it's water or an adult beverage, what have you. I am awful at it. Super, super bad. So my buddies used to call me Chugs kind of as a joke. And I knew I wanted my gamer tag to be something, I don't know, fun and loose because gaming is fun and supposed to be fun. So I was like, you know what? We're going to go with Chugs. And then I added the in front because, I mean, you got The Rock and you got the Chugs.
That's you know, my nickname in high school was actually Cool Guy, but it wasn't because I was cool. They were making fun of me.
There we go.
So
we go.
I worked at Blockbuster Video and I was like, that's the cool guy. And then I was like, wait a minute.
Right,
But
that's the exact reason. Yeah. The exact reasoning I'm Chugs.
That's awesome. So we actually officially first met in person at the AEW New Year's party going into 2020, which 2019 for me personally, you know, if this is your first time listening to the Ja Podcast, I'm Alex Jubaley. I run fighting game conventions for a living, CEO Gaming, and I ran the second ever AEW pay-per-view with AEW and co-hosted that Fighter Fest, which was just that year was incredible to work with AEW and be a part of that start of that company and, you know, going to Double or Nothing before that. And I had already known Kenny since 2016.
Sure.
And we had first met. I was at the New Year's party. You were there with your girlfriend, Britt Baker.
Yes.
DMD. Yeah. And just you were so cool, man, to meet in person. Like, just I'm like, is he really this nice? And Kenny's like, yeah, that's Adam. That was cool to meet you there. But
it was cool.
We talked through DMs and Twitch. And, you know, being a wrestler, you're a lot. The majority of them, they don't game.
Yep.
Now the times have changed. A lot of us are gaming. Evil Uno over at AEW does the Twitch channel with AEW games and stuff and his own. Miro, Kip Sabian. Now we've got you, and you have a really well-established channel. Do you remember what your first Twitch stream was?
Oh, my God. I'll never forget it. So funny enough, before I tell you what it was, not only do I remember my first one, I literally write down every single Twitch stream that I have. So, like, today, I just had stream 333.
Wow.
Like, I mark the date and what game that I played. But, yeah, my first Twitch stream was, it was actually Halo 5 Guardians. So, I played some multiplayer of Halo 5. I'd say of modern games, that game is the one that I put the most time into. That game also, and maybe I'll get into it later, but it's, that game is the reason that in my adult life I've gotten so into video games. So, I thought, you know what? I want my first Twitch stream to be Halo 5. I remember being really nervous. Like, it was strange at the idea of again, playing a game and then looking at, you know, people talking in chat and thinking like, oh, I don't want to play poorly. I want to do well. And then as time went on, obviously, I not only got more comfortable, but I got closer with the community. So yeah,
that's awesome. And you know, Twitch, people know, can be very toxic. There's always the negative sides to the internet, but seeing your channel and how much people love it and supportive, and I stream myself on my CEO Gaming channel, it's so much fun. It's, the times have changed. Everyone's generally nicer to each other. It's supportive. And so Halo 5 Guardians, which it's what, like 6 years old now? It's a little bit, it feels like just yesterday came out. But
Yeah, it came out. I'll actually never forget. I hope you don't mind if I go into the story.
No,
but this
course.
Is actually, so I casually have played games my whole life.
Yep.
Like my very first memory of my entire life was watching my dad play Road Rash on the Sega Genesis. So I casually played them, but I was never like a quote unquote gamer until 2015, actually. So I remember my brother came home and he had bought Halo 5 the day it came out, and he was playing it a little bit, and then he was getting ready to go to bed, and I was kind of bored, and I was like, hey Brent, do you mind if I, you know, go on your Xbox and play Halo 5? He goes, yeah, sure. I stayed up until 7 a.m. and beat the entire campaign, and I'm like, this is really fun. I think I'm gonna buy an Xbox. So I went and got an Xbox, and Halo 5 was the first game that I got, and just absolutely played it to death. And then that's kind of when other stuff opened up and I started playing more and more games, which we'll get into later. But yep. Yeah, Halo 5 was what did it for me. And it was only a few years old.
So two quick Halo stories on my end. I've played them since part one, Combat Evolved.
Yes. Yeah.
And back in my college days, I had friends that lived in an apartment complex. It was called Tivoli, but if you spelled it backwards, it's spelled I Love It. So we called it I Love It Apartments.
Nice.
But they had a network back, this is like 2001. They had a network where every apartment building was on the same router. So everybody who had an Xbox and Halo could play anyone else in the apartment complex when you did LAN mode. So people would go outside and scream, Halo time! I'm not even joking. And you'd find 16 people right away to link up. And it was the greatest. We would do this like every Friday night for a couple weeks when it first came out. And then my last Halo memory, and I used to play a ton of it, Hang 'em High.
Oh, yeah.
One of everyone's memories.
Same here.
And I went to a tournament at a Blockbuster Video. I used to work at Blockbuster. I wasn't working there at the time. And they had a Halo 1 tournament on the night Halo 2 came out. And if you won that tournament, they gave you a free copy of Halo 2.
That's amazing.
So I actually won that. Hold on. The worst part, went to my car. Some guys tried to rob me of the copy.
No,
I'm not even
way.
Joking, but I had my friends with me and we're just standing there in shock. Like it's a, I'm like, I just got in my car, drove off. They're like, give us the copy. It was like, no, I just got in my car, locked and drove
That's
away.
Ridiculous.
I'm not going to fight over a video game, but
ridiculous.
Yeah.
Halo 2 was hot. Yeah. When that game came out. I have a one funny Halo story that actually doesn't have anything to do with me, but a buddy of mine, we used to play Halo CE, same thing all the time at our buddy's houses. And I'll never forget, it was like right when online started really getting popular. So I actually think at this point it was Halo 2. But my buddy played someone else online who he didn't know, and it was the first person to 10 kills. And my buddy is destroying this guy, like destroying him. It's 5-0, 6-0, 7-0, all the way up to 9-0. And my buddy was talking trash the whole time, just talking so much trash. And the other guy had a microphone, but he was muted. And when it was 9-0, the other guy unmuted himself and said, game over, and beat him 10-9. It was the coolest video game moment ever. I was like, what an animal this guy was.
Halo, I mean, that game changed everything. Back then, it was all about GoldenEye,
yep.
And then Perfect Dark, then Time Splitters, if you ever played that series.
Yes.
And then just Halo is a whole nother beast. So
right.
To see what Halo Infinite's doing, we'll talk about in a second.
Yeah.
It's just Halo's been a big part, and then they started doing the Waypoint live events that started 2 years ago. They had one in Orlando. It was a big, they had like a live Warthog and simulator rides.
I was there for that.
Yeah. So it actually happened the same weekend as one of my CEO events. So I didn't get to go that time, but I knew the guys who put that event together, being in the event industry.
Very cool.
And just to see how far Halo's come. And if it wasn't for Halo, I don't think Xbox still would have been here, because what are other games besides Forza, Halo?
Gears of War, but
like
Halo, without question, is the kingpin, I think, of Xbox for sure. Like you said, specifically, I don't know if Xbox would have really gotten off the ground as much as it did if it wasn't for Halo. I mean, that was such a massive aspect to that console. So
yeah. So you know, doing that, so Halo is pretty much your passion. I can already tell that. real quick, talk about the Halo Infinite. You got into one of the flights, as they're calling it, yes. Which is such a weird name. Just say beta.
Right.
And I didn't realize, because I could probably message someone, one of my friends at Microsoft, get me in. And then I realized you just sign up for the newsletter. Is that probably what you did?
That's correct.
Yeah. So yeah. Halo Insider or whatever. Yep. How is it? Honestly,
it's
I know. Don't be biased. How is it?
I promise you, I won't be biased. It was, so I actually played my second flight this past weekend. And man, it feels great. Like, objectively, I feel like this could be a game that gets the entire world back into Halo. Like, the movement feels great. One of the most important things, the guns feel great. They sound great. Just, there's so many different aspects of it.
What about these guns?
Oh, geez. What we got here?
Where's the video feed?
Yeah. There is no video feed,
I'm
Kenny.
Flexing.
It's called a podcast, not a video cast.
What's that?
Pull up a chair, Kenny.
Okay.
Kenny Omega's also here, yes. As you guys know.
I guess I'll join, guys.
But this is the Adam Cole episode, but Kenny is also bigger gamer than him. Yes, you are.
I just play different games.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's all.
There we go. Well, he plays Apex and all those.
I'm a bigger BR-er.
Yeah. Well, is the BR mode out in Halo Infinite on the flights or no?
So, not on the flights.
They don't even know if they know it's...
That's what I was going to say. I don't think they know for sure.
I think everyone figures it's going to be in, but I mean, who knows? Yeah. I think if it's in, it's a home run for sure.
I think they should. With how hot that game mode has been too lately.
It's going to sell a lot more units than I think that they could ever possibly account for.
100 Spartans running around. Oh, man.
I'm excited. Oh, man. Yeah.
So excited.
When Kenny was staying here, we played Apex till like 3 a.m. every night. And then Call of Duty Black. What was it called? Blackout.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
Blackout.
So besides Halo, what are the games you actually enjoy?
So the ones that come like to mind immediately as far as like more modern games is, we were talking about this earlier, I love Borderlands. Absolutely love those games. I love the Dark Souls franchise. I've beaten all those games, which has been really, really cool. The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt is probably...
I remember that's the first game you told me you fell in love with.
To me, top to bottom, I think maybe one of the greatest gaming experiences I've ever had. And that just meant that, like, anytime I wasn't home playing it, I was thinking about it, like all the time. Hollow Knight is one of
I just started today because of you guys.
Oh, man, you are going to love it.
You
are going to love it. But, like, I had a great time with Red Dead Redemption 2. I mean, there are so many different games I could list. But Hollow Knight, going back to that, the crazy thing about that is how 3 people made that game. Just 3 people.
Yeah.
So I can't wait for Silksong.
I mean, it's a gorgeous game, too. It's got one of those timeless art styles.
Yep.
That 10 years, 20 years from now, you're not going to turn that game on and go, oh, this looks bad.
Exactly.
It's going to be gorgeous from now until the end of time.
Oh, well, yeah. Having an Xbox, have you played the Ori games?
Oh, my God.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Yes.
Then pretty much similar. As a wrestler, have you ever played the Guacamelee games, the Metroidvania Guacamelees?
I have not.
You need to.
And that's been on my list. You saying this really
It's a really great. It has an amazing challenge mode that's near impossible to beat after you beat the single player.
Cool.
Number 2 has a 4-player mode. So you can Metroidvania with 4 people. Cool. We should probably pop that on after this.
Yeah.
That's the first one for sure has co-op too, I think.
It might have two players.
It might, yeah.
But the second one's 4 players. But Guacamelee is incredible. You have to play it as a wrestler.
I've heard nothing but good things.
And as a Metroidvania fan. Yeah. And then we have a new Metroid coming out, Dread.
Oh, I can't wait.
Excited for that.
Speaking of Metroidvanias, I gotta say this. I think it could be out. It might be out. But I was put on to hearing about that new Castlevania collection. And I would definitely suggest that someone who played 2 of the Game Boy Advance Castlevania, if you like Symphony of the Night, if you like that, and pretty much everything that inspired, you know, Metroidvania games from that, that's a collection you got to play.
Yeah,
because it has what is it? Death Circle of the Moon, Aria of Sorrow,
Dracula X,
which is not a Metroidvania, but it's just a great Castlevania with multiple pathways. And then there's one more. Harmony of Dissonance?
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah.
See, Kenny knows the shit.
So good. Like, it's, I'm not sure if it's as good as Symphony of the Night or if I, but it's right up there. It's really, really good.
But believe it or not, Hollow Knight was what got me into Metroidvanias.
There you go.
That's how late it was for me.
Yeah.
You know?
Then play Guacamelee. Just trust me on that. Okay. And there's been a Axiom Verge.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Part 2 just came out. I actually, for the DreamHack job, would interview developers, and we interviewed. There's only one guy who does it, who created Axiom Verge.
Wow.
And then it was his publicist answering most of the questions, which was really interesting because you could tell he was a super genius creating this game, but not a good talker. And that's usually how it goes with developers.
Right.
But that's also a classic game as well.
Yeah.
So going back to like Xbox, the other day we hung out, you said Final Fantasy VII, which is one of my favorite games of all time, is one of yours.
Absolutely.
When did you play it? When you were a kid?
I did. So funny enough is right around this time, I didn't even want Final Fantasy VII. Me and my younger brother, we wanted Resident Evil 2. And we used to play it at my cousin's all the time. And then my mom figured out what the ESRB ratings were.
Whoa.
And she's like, M for mature, 17 and up. Well, I can't get you guys this game. And we were so crushed. So she ended up coming home with another game. And she goes, here, they told me this was good. We got you, you know, another one instead. Yeah. And me and my brother were like, are you kidding me? Oh my
God. Night Trap, Sega Night Trap, and Mortal Kombat are the reasons ESRB was ever born.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of how bad they were.
But Final Fantasy VII was just, it was one of the first times where I realized how detailed and deep stories can be in games. It's not just something to pass the time. Those characters I'm still so attached to. And but not to bring up Remake already, but like, again, I thought they just did such a wonderful job with that. Yeah.
Yeah. And obviously, Kenny behind us here has a move based on Final Fantasy VII, One Winged Angel.
Exactly.
That's right.
So, yeah, one of my favorite games, Remake. Me and Kenny, as soon as the Yuffie DLC came out, we were playing it,
talking about it,
and just excited for where they're going to go with PS5's technology.
Yeah.
And you know what? People were like, it's not the full game I remember. I'm like, they could. I'll pay $1,000 to play these episodes because it's just 100%. So well done. And they've taken their sweet time. And, you know, it's been over 20 years. And Final Fantasy VII, I'll never forget it. My sister took me to Best Buy, bought me the game for my birthday. Came out around my birthday in August. Cloud's American birthday and the strategy guide is actually August 19th, like my birthday.
Oh, nice.
So is Bill Clinton. and my favorite bumper sticker I'll never forget is when Bill lied, nobody died. So Final Fantasy, any other big RPGs that you're a fan of?
Gosh, I mean, I know you could consider, you know, The Witcher, like RPG, and not to stick necessarily within this realm, but I just have such fond memories of 7, 8, and 9. Actually, FF9 is probably my second favorite Final Fantasy.
It's actually mine too.
Okay, yeah, just absolutely loved that game.
That's your second favorite.
Second favorite, 9.
So 7, 9. Okay.
Yeah.
I think 10 has the best battle system with the sphere grid. Mm. If you ever played 10 and remastered,
I played 10.
13. 15 I couldn't get through actually. It had so much DLC. I just lost track.
Through it either.
You have an Xbox One.
Have you played 6?
Yes. Okay. So I'm not kidding.
And or 3, depending on what country you're in.
So I am currently playing 6 on my PlayStation Vita.
There you go.
Actually. But everyone tells me, like, oh, 6 is one of the best or the best. So I'm like, okay, I gotta.
Have you seen the guy who suplexes a train yet?
No.
Get ready for it. One of the characters suplexes a train.
Yeah. I'm one of the few who doesn't think it's the best one because I really do think 7.
Yep.
The remake of 7 is the best. Mm-hmm. But 6 is really up there. It's either 2 or 3 for me.
Yeah.
2 or 3.
In the Final Fantasy VII remake intro, it made me cry.
Oh,
it really, like the Midgar scene where it pans out and the music kicks in really loud. I was like, just so much nostalgia and excitement. And it made me tear up.
And that's why I tell my friends, like, if you can have a best friend or good friends, wrestlers are the way to go because we're still kids at heart.
Right.
Whether you're a gamer or a wrestler, like, you're, you know. You've been to Japan.
Yes.
Kenny lived in Japan. Did you ever live there? It was mostly just quick trips for matches.
Yeah, I think the longest I was ever there was the first time I was there, and that was for 3 weeks only. So, never lived.
Did Kenny take you to arcades or anything like that? Did you get to check out arcade culture?
What do we sort of did?
Kind of got to for some tours and some trips that I was there. But the first time I was there, it wasn't even for New Japan. It was for Big Japan.
Mm-hmm.
So,
So
Kenny wasn't even there, but
it's actually featured in a BT episode. You may remember it. It's actually, I think, in the intro. You'll see it where we're all wearing costumes.
Yes,
that was like a game center.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And we played. I'm trying to remember. There was a rail shooter that you really wanted me to play. It was something too. That what was it?
In the arcades?
Yeah, yeah.
Radius? No.
It was an arcade.
Oh,
you know,
it was Let's Go Jungle. I'm guessing it's Let's Go Jungle.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it was very, very fun. I would love to go back though and just spend all day in a giant gaming center.
First time I went there, I got flown out there for Tokyo Game Show.
Yeah.
And a fact that not a lot of American listeners will probably know, but Square Enix flew me out there. I worked at Iron Galaxy on Killer Instinct for Xbox. And at the time, we had just released Dive Kick over in Japan. And I was a character in Dive Kick. My character's name is Jafaeli. Every time I went around, my head gets bigger because my ego grows. And I got put in the game because I was close friends with one of my first mentors in the event industry of fighting games, Adam Keats, who still works there. And they flew me out there. And I never knew Square Enix in Japan publishes everything. So if a Call of Duty gets released in Japan, Square Enix puts it out, really? Not Activision. Mm-hmm. So they flew me in. I got to show off Dive Kick on a stage. I got to play my translator's like 7-year-old daughter, and I let her beat me.
Yeah.
That video is somewhere. But it was just so exciting to understand and go to my first Tokyo Game Show of how big Square Enix was there. They were the EA of Japan, basically. Oh, yeah. But I've been to Japan 4 times, actually. And just the arcade culture is something else. So it's a shame to see all these COVID stories of arcades shutting down.
I know.
That Sega just shut down for landlord reasons, I believe. But I only saw you the third time, right? In Japan? Yeah.
That's right.
I got to go to his last match in New Japan and with Tanahashi. And then 2 days later, we got to sync up and we went and played Street Fighter V in a Korean karaoke place with our good friend Logan, who's in the UK.
That's awesome.
But you know, being a huge wrestling fan as well, just to see that and be a part of everything Kenny got to let me do, especially Fyter Fest, the New Japan show.
Yep.
But what I love about what we've all been doing and what I think we're continuing to accomplish is in 2016, Xavier Woods, your good buddy, Creed, you know, I got to sync up with him thanks to Kenny.
Yeah.
Kenny's like, I have a friend. We should do something cool at your
CEO
event.
He's not my friend.
Yeah, you know.
I have a guy.
Right. Yeah. but we brought him out, and we opened the original Forbidden Door.
Right.
And gaming, mostly.
That's true.
But to have a New Japan guy and a WWE guy
gaming
on a public channel together, and that's where the Jabeta phase comes from. I'm sure you've seen in your chat Twitch. Yeah. Was me staring up, seeing them play Street Fighter. And in my mind, I'm like, yeah, I made this shit happen. Like, and my photographer got that right moment. But just to see how far things have come with the crossovers of, because the fighting game community is like, it's just like wrestling. I'm like, this is why I've been doing a wrestling themed fighting game convention since 2012. You know, seeing it come together. And I mean, looking back, Kenny, that feels like a lifetime ago, right? To do that. And then we got to do another. He was still 2016 that happened the first time, 2017. And he was already coming, right? The bond, when we first met, we just instantly bonded, had a good time.
Right.
We gamed forever, talked about all that stuff. I admired his work. He admired mine.
Mm-hmm.
And we met through some friends, Cross Counter, big YouTube channel. They kind of fell off since then. Mike Ross, a good friend of ours in Gutex.
Oh, hell yeah.
Back then. And I'm like, Gutex, you played with Kenny. You record an episode. Can you introduce me? And right away, Kenny's like, I love your CEO. I'm like, dude, I love you doing a Zangief pile driver and wrestling the daughter of the trainer or whatever. And just seeing all that stuff come to fruition and him come out. But the cool thing about how things have changed is, if this is like the early 2000s, you can get a celebrity to come to your gaming event. It's just a celebrity. They're there. They get their pay. They leave.
Right.
Kenny, Xavier, organic. How much fun it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then seeing you crossing over to Twitch and, you know, it's sad that the party had to kind of break up with you leaving.
Right.
You know, I'm sure. And one day we can all do something all special together and the,
You
know, the Uno stuff and all that. But how was it working with Xavier and having that time on the side to do what you loved aside from the performing?
Yeah, it was awesome. Again, it was a situation where I always got along with him really well. And then I think as he found out how passionate I was about games, that made him really excited because he's so passionate about it. But aside from the fact that we have that in common, in addition to Swiss and Breeze, they're just incredible human beings. Like Woods sat online with me on Discord for 5 hours and explained like the bare bones how to start streaming.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it with a smile on his face the whole time. The guy's one of the busiest people I know, and he couldn't wait to help me out. So he's so creative, so fun to film content with. Again, I had the absolute time of my life getting to do Uno or playing other games that we played with them. And one of the coolest parts was just, I don't know, after seeing, you know, the fact that it had to end, seeing how many people were positively affected by the content that we made. I mean, so many different messages about like, hey, you know, a family member passed away or I lost my job or what have you. And these videos really, really helped. Because at the end of the day, it just felt like it was 4 friends getting together and playing video games. But then you see the impact that you made, and It's really, really, really cool. So I miss them dearly. I still talk to them every day. So it's not like we don't speak to each other. But yeah, I'm definitely hoping that someday again soon we'll be able to film again.
And one thing I want to comment, when CM Punk at the All Out, he bought everyone ice cream or his debut. I wanted to tweet out, somebody else did something just as special. Not obviously the entire arena, but Xavier, when he came back to the second show, the second CEO in 2017, he literally flew in same day. Hung out with us. I had him stay in my room, and he had to go out the next day to a house show.
Yeah.
And he came in 9 a.m. on Saturday morning and bought like 4 boxes of Dunkin' Donuts for my staff.
Wow.
Nobody asked. He just brought it. He's like, hey, guys, I got you done. I'm like, okay, thank you. I ate half a box, but, you know, but like just to see the genuineness and, but seeing Kenny when he comes to my events and now seeing you, hopefully you'll get to come to one of my CEOs and have a good time. So. Oh, yeah. December this year, you know. I can't wait for it to be back to, you know, prominence, because if it wasn't for Kenny and our crossing over of our worlds, it would not have exploded and kind of showcased how wrestling fans are gaming fans and vice versa.
Right.
And then obviously we're not going to talk about the console game, but I'm excited for the console game's future and, what I support anything Kenny does in the wrestling world in front and behind the scenes, and knowing how passionate he is about this project. Yeah. I can't wait, because you can't see Kenny put out a bad product at all on TV, wherever, you know, so I'm excited for that. But going back to like Twitch and all that, you have a set schedule, which is hard to do in your world. What is the set schedule like for you? How did you come up with those days specifically?
So for me, in a perfect world, and obviously, you know this too, depending on what I have going on, it can't always consistently be this, but normally I try to stream at least 5 days a week. And I really, really like doing it in the afternoon.
Five? I didn't know it was 5 days.
Yeah, I try to. Yeah. I try. I mean, these past
few weeks. Can't even want to do one.
Yeah. These past few weeks, it's been 4, sometimes even 3. Mm-hmm. But I try to make sure that I'm as consistent as possible with it. And the afternoon slot, I really, really like, because I'm a night owl. So I stay up really late and I'll sleep in until like late morning. So I like to be up for a couple hours before I get.
Hey. My dog Tifa is whining.
So I like to be. I like to be on and wait a couple hours before I get online. But yeah, and sometimes I'll go normally 3 to 4 hours. I have a set cycle of games that I'm playing through. And yeah, that's become really, really fun. Every now and then I'll do like a late night stream or a really early one. But the community is so committed that I like the idea of all of us knowing, okay, around 2 p.m. Eastern, he's going to hop on in and play some stuff.
And it's about consistency, right? And I've been diving more into YouTube side, because I actually like the technology of recording, editing, and having fun to keep me busy, because I've been stuck home for almost 2 years now with events on hold. But what is and this was a great question somebody had from your Twitch stream.
Yeah.
When was that moment you knew, okay, I'm going to do this consistently? And obviously revenue is a big help and it is inspiring, but more inspiring is the engaging audience.
Absolutely.
What was that breakthrough moment? Like, I'm not bad at the streaming thing and I have the basics down. Xavier helped me. Like, when did you notice that? Okay, I'm just going to do this as much as possible.
Well, actually, I've never been asked that. So I'm so glad you asked me that. Because there was a very specific moment where I knew like, oh, I'm going to do this for a really, really long time. This is something I'm really, really passionate about. And it was the release of The Last of Us Part 2. It was the first time I was playing a game for the first time on stream. And I remember being like, I hope I can still like enjoy the game and focus on the game,
because
chat's going to be going on. And I remember the excitement in chat just built my excitement for the game even more. And even for a little bit, for the first little bit, I had turned off notifications and stuff so I could just focus on that. And it made the game so much more exciting, so much more exciting. So at that point, I was like, oh man, I love this. I'm going to stream forever.
So you didn't have any blabber mouths trying to ruin it for you?
No, I'm not kidding. The community is unbelievably sweet. Like it's crazy.
I don't believe it.
Yeah.
This is impossible.
You'll have to come on sometime. I'll show you.
All right, fine. Then maybe I will.
We're turning on my stream right now, but we need to take a quick break. Let me walk the dog. So I use anchor.fm. Every 30 minutes it stops.
Oh, nice.
So, but we'll be right back. Some more questions and stay tuned.
Let's go.
And we're back. This is Alex Jabaley. If you haven't tried Omaha Steak, no, I'm just kidding. talk is Jericho. He's so good at his transitions, his segues. But anyways, it's inspiring for him to find the time. And, I remember listening to one podcast anecdote where he talked about like when somebody comes up to me and asks for a picture, it's not meaningful, right? But when you go up to him and try to have a 10-minute conversation, so I really took that to heart.
Yeah.
So one day he had just filmed in one of the one of the podcasts, and he was packing up the mics, and I got to sit down with him for 10 minutes and pick his brain on the whole podcasting process and how he sends it off and all. It was just very inspiring. And ever since then, and then, you know, me being skyrocketed to nearly the top, being friends with Kenny, you know, backstage, and him giving me trust, and then the company, like, to meet the New Japan president at the time was just such a huge honor in California.
Yeah.
One day I'll talk about the rental car story of picking up Kenny and making it in time for his interview. But I was so lucky, because being a wrestling fan all my life, I always wanted to understand the business side, because I run conventions. I deal with thousands of people.
Right.
I book flights like your Bryce and Chris Harrington's. I have to do all that on a smaller scale for my conventions, but still, it's, you got to think about so much. So when I meet people that are really good in their craft, they only get to focus on their craft, which is what makes AEW special. Everyone does their own thing. But when it first started, you know, talking to, and on your interview, you talked about how your first conversation with Tony Khan was like a 4-hour talk. And when Kenny literally gives me the call, the first year in New Japan, he's like, it's done. I'm like, huh? He's like, we're doing the show. I'm like, what? Like, so I had to learn real quick. And AEW took over the second year. And when Kenny's like, we're doing the show, Fyter Fest. And they came up with the idea with Cody and the Bucks. And I'm like, can I just get Tony Khan's number? I just want to call him, just show him what kind of person I am. And we talked for a good hour. And so I'm like, hey, I'm not entwined with wrestling as much. It's thanks to Kenny. But I'm like, whatever you guys need, I'm here to help. And it was a great show. And some of the wrestlers say Fyter Fest was like just the most fun they had.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's fun every week, right? It's just such an insane thing. But
talking
more about gaming, right? So there's the AEW games. They do their YouTubing and the build up into the mobile game. Aubrey Edwards, the referee, who worked in the gaming industry as well. So many people in the wrestling industry are tied to gaming now, and that huge crossover we talked about earlier with Kenny and Xavier. What do you kind of want to see? You know, you are now at AEW, you're still allowed to Twitch and all that. That's not a concern,
right?
It's sort of a concern over there. I've seen like Paige, she's like, no, I'm doing my channel, like how that blew up, right? Where do you want to go with your channel? Are you just kind of casually having fun with it? Would you like to see something like an AEW up, up, down, down, like left, left, right, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. So I know for sure. I want to make sure that the, you know, my individual Twitch channel stays as fun as possible always. So of course I want the channel to grow as much as possible. And the idea of getting to work with different companies and stuff like that is really, really exciting. But at the end of the day, I always want to make sure it's fun, and it's very, very, very fun right now. And honestly, conceivably, I can't think of anything that would make it not fun. I'm just excited to keep doing it, and then at the same time, kind of see what happens. But as far as like AEW having its own version of, you know, something along the lines of an up, up, down, down with AEW games, I think, of course, that'd be exciting, because it's very cool to individually do stuff yourself. But then again, you know this, Kenny knows this, when you have a group of people who are passionate or really into games, then it comes across even cooler. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the future is going to hold, but I'm excited, and I'm definitely going to be a part of it no matter what it is.
For sure. And I'd love, you know, I'm like, AEW, you know, I know I'm busy, but anything you guys need on the gaming industry side, I'm here to help. So my dream would obviously to be work with Kenny in a more official capacity and help you guys grow that, because again, the worlds are a perfect culmination.
Oh yeah.
I'm excited for what the future holds. You know, COVID is still existing out there, but to see, you know, the requirement of vaccinations, but like the New York show, for example, 20,000 people were there, all vaccinated, proving that, but just having the time of their lives. And it almost doesn't feel real with everything you see on the news every day. But in terms of gaming, our gaming conventions are starting to come back. We'd love to do another Fyter Fest in the future. We don't know what that holds. You know, AEW is too big now, man. I might just be now. but that's why I love about Tony and, you know, just the team. Oh, yeah. And for me, going backstage, I always felt comfortable and I felt good.
Yep.
And I've told Kenny this, like, when I did Fyter Fest, when I did CEO in a combination, I had to finally learn how to delegate on the gaming side. And I have my best friend Tong and Rick and all these guys that help put the events together. After I had my ankle injury when I wrestled Michael Nakazawa when I was in a wheelchair, I'm like, I can't do everything anymore. I gotta, you know. And now going to AEW inspired me in the gaming industry side of how they do things so well and put together. And it's just exciting to see again where gaming's going. Besides Halo Infinite, what other games are you looking forward to besides remakes next part, probably?
Yeah. Aside from those, I think God of War Ragnarok looks like it's going to be incredible. The most recent God of War was just excellent. Such a good game. I think Horizon Forbidden West looks really, really good as well. Gosh. And then the other one, as far as the top three, Elden Ring coming out is just going to be the idea of an open world Dark Souls RPG like that. My God, it has me so excited. Like, I'll be, the day that game comes out, I'll be playing it no matter where I'm at.
There is one game I showed Kenny. If you haven't played, it's called Elder Souls. It's obviously trying to riff off the name. It's more of a top-down animated style.
Oh, cool.
The bosses are impossible.
Yeah.
It's really good. It's like Shadow of the Colossus. You ever play that game?
Yes.
Okay, one of my favorites, and Ico and Last Guardian after that.
Yeah.
But look up Elder Souls. It's like a $15 indie game. Incredible.
Oh, cool.
It's all boss battles. You got to go to certain areas. It's just like Dark Souls, but in a like a chibi type art form. Check that one out. I showed Kenny.
Will do.
And you know what's crazy? Like, people don't understand how good Kenny is at games, right?
Right.
And how good you are at Halo. I've been watching, you know, you're having fun. You need to play freaking Splitgate.
I
keep telling you this. It's so good until Halo Infinite comes out. God. We'll play it on stream together.
We should.
Elder Souls, it took me like 6 tries on the first boss. I gave Kenny the controller. It took him 2 tries. I'm like, what the hell? He still got
it.
You know, it sucks to think. Like, I'm 39 now. I believe you're like
32.
Yeah, oh,
almost.
You look great, man.
Thanks, man.
How old's Shawn Michaels? Is there any relation? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But it's like, I think our generation, when we're in our 70s and 80s, we'll be in retirement homes playing video games.
Absolutely.
And it's going to be, we're going to be like, I get to catch up on my 50-year backlog.
Absolutely. You're 100%
so
right.
It's going
to
be
our
different
entire
then.
Generations, we're going to continue to play, God, like you said, until retirement and stuff like that. And that has me excited. I'm ready to go. Because we got a lot of games to catch up
on. I know. It's at a point. I have a boss at DreamHack, Justin Burnham, who's been in the industry for 25 years, a long time. Awesome dude. He warms up. We worked an event together and we went to the gym every morning. He warms up with a 315 bench. I'm not even joking. He's just jacked. And he was telling me, like, as soon as a new generation of consoles comes out, he gets rid of everything old. He's like,
really?
You know what? I've played it once. I don't need to go back or revisit it. Yeah. I wish I could do that. I collect everything.
Same here. I'm like, I collect everything.
But he's also works with Good Shepherd, a publisher.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to kind of go that route, but there's just so much to play out there. And
I
Game
know.
Pass. I should, when Kenny got an Xbox, I'm like, trust me, Game Pass is the new deal. And now rumors having it with PlayStation 5, they're going to start having their PS Now subscription.
Yeah.
It's not as good as Game Pass, but they're thinking about adding PS5 games to it to counter Game Pass.
Really?
And that shows you where things are going.
Yeah.
And then Nintendo, I'm excited about the Nintendo 64 games online.
Me too. Yeah.
Hope they add Diddy Kong Racing, but
I
can ramble just as much about gaming as you.
Right.
So what we'll do is, talk some questions, actually.
Sure,
I asked Twitter
sure.
about some questions. First, we talked about shooting games and single-player games. Mm-hmm. Do you have any fighting game experience? Did you play Street Fighter growing up? You can be honest.
See,
we won't judge.
And I will. So I have very, very little fighting game experience. In the sense of, like, don't get me wrong, I've played Street Fighter, and I've played Soul Calibur and Mortal Kombat and stuff like that. But I was always someone that, like, my brother was pretty good at fighting games. So anytime we would play, he would destroy me. So I am notoriously, even on Up, Up, Down, Down, mm-hmm. I was notoriously a terrible fighting game player. But if we were doing a shooter, then I would do, you know, all right. So so I don't have a ton of experience with it, but I have some fond memories of either watching. Like, one of my favorite esports moments of all time was the one time where the guy parried.
Justin Wong, Evo Moments 37.
And the crowd, like,
yeah.
That's one of the coolest things I've ever seen happen in gaming. And I do enjoy watching people play fighting games. But yeah, me, myself, do not have a ton of fighting game experience.
That's odd. Well, I can teach you sometime.
Yeah,
I've actually taught champions before.
Yeah.
And Kenny, you know, he was the first celebrity I met that could actually, like, play. And
right.
When him and Xavier, they did Street Fighter the first year, Tekken the second year. It was still, they weren't like the highest level, but they knew what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
People were engaged. It was just like one of their wrestling matches. They were engaged with every hit.
Yeah.
It was just a beautiful thing to watch. And Kenny and I have sparred in Street Fighter V, and he almost suplexed me once after beating his ass. but, you know, just the history of fighting games is why we're probably talking right now. If it wasn't for fighting games,
right.
CO wouldn't exist. But I play everything. I love racing games, Gran Turismo. I'm excited for 7. Here's a couple questions. So I have a question myself. What's your first memory of video games, period?
Yes. So
you have it?
And not only is it my first memory of video games, it's my literal first memory of my entire life. I was 3 years old, and I remember waking up and running downstairs and going, "Dad's still awake. Dad's still awake." And he was playing the Sega Genesis, and it was Road Rash.
Mm-hmm.
And he had stayed up all night like all through the night to get the best bike, which was like, because of those TVs and you couldn't really tell color wise. We thought, oh my God, Dad got the black bike. But when you go back and look, it's actually dark blue. It's because you can't really tell. But yeah, he had stayed up all night to get this best bike. And I was so excited. So like, again, with the first console we ever had was a Sega Genesis. And my earliest memories are Road Rash, Streets of Rage 2, and Sonic the Hedgehog 2. Those were my, you know, trifecta as far as gaming earliest memories.
I think mine was ColecoVision with my brother. Nice. But my first vivid memory is when the original Zelda came out.
Oh, cool.
And if you turned it off the wrong way, it erased your save on the NES. If you like held the, you had to do something. So every time my brother got to the last dungeon, I would accidentally like destroy it and he beat me up over it. But I had older, my parents never played video games. My mom played Tetris growing up.
Oh, cool.
But I'll never forget when I was getting good at Mortal Kombat and fighting games in the 90s, my dad would pick me up from like the arcade, see me blow someone's head off with writing. He's like, why the hell are you playing this shit?
Right.
Like, it's going to make me money one day, Dad, you know, right. and now he's going to be prouder of me.
Right.
So that's not, I mean, video games, it's transcended time and people are like, I'm not a gamer. Like, have you played a game on your phone? Yeah. You're a casual gamer.
Exactly.
and it's great with, you know, back then we didn't have smartphones. So if I had to wait 8 hours to go to the mall, I'd have to sit there just bored out of my mind. Now we can just keep ourselves busy and Twitter and social. So that was your first gaming experience. What was the first console you owned?
So the first console I had growing up again was the Sega Genesis. Mm-hmm. But again, this is so crazy to say because I'm so passionate about them. But the first console that I bought with my own money was an Xbox One.
Wow.
It was when I got hit. Like, so my brother, so I was the one who was obsessed with wrestling his entire life. And I would play games and I liked them. My younger brother was the one who was obsessed with video games. So whether it was a joint gift from our parents where we'd get a N64 that year for Christmas or PlayStation, you know, I would play it and I loved, the games. But my brother was like, you know, neck deep into the gaming world. So even later on, because we actually lived together for a little while, we rented a place together, and he would be the one to have the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One, and I would just play on his console. So playing Halo 5 that one night, that's when I was like, you know what? I'm going to buy my own console. and so really, the first console I bought with my own money was an Xbox One.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Kenny, how'd you get your PlayStation 5?
Actually, I was lucky because a friend of mine who had lived in California, he was kind of putting in bids and such while I was out and about doing the wrestling thing. And he'd said, oh my God, I actually was able to find one for you. Just give me the cash and I'll send it. So that's how it worked.
I thought I got you the PlayStation 5.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, that was the Xbox.
Yeah, he got the Xbox. So on day one, I got one from GameStop, one from Amazon. And people are like, how'd you get? I'm like, I'm a bigger fan than you. I just waited online and hit the button.
It took me 5 hours.
I get hooked up. I'm like, no, I just tried harder.
Same.
So I got two. And my oldest brother, he has a PlayStation 4. Mostly my pass-ons for my conventions. I have like 12 PS4s here.
Yeah.
And I bought two. And my brother didn't want it. He's like, you know. And I go, Kenny, you want it? He's like, yeah. So he got it. And then my brother's like, can you get me one? I'm like, and it took me 6 more months till I could get a third one. And my brother now has it. God. So he was so happy. And it was a GameStop. They had like a pro membership.
Oh, nice.
It's just crazy. I'll never forget when the Wii came out. And you would go to Walmarts. There wasn't really much online. Walmarts would have lines for 5 hours to get them. And now we have all the chip shortages and all that. It's funny how everyone was able to get the brand new iPhone 13 day one, right?
How is
Apple still performing?
Exactly.
But, you know, it's weird. We're kind of in a, as an organizer, we have to upgrade to systems every like 6-7 years between PS3, PS4.
Yeah.
And it changes everything. But luckily, PS5 is so backwards compatible and, you know, most of fighting games are on that, but
yeah.
So Xbox One, so welcome. Do you have a PlayStation 5 yet?
I do.
Oh,
I
nice.
Do,
yeah. How'd you get yours?
When I was the day it came out, and both of them through Amazon, but I refreshed a page on Amazon for 5 hours until finally I got lucky and was able to pre-order one. And Xbox Series X took me a little while, but only an hour and a half for the Xbox Series X.
Wow.
So I got lucky.
Yeah.
The Steam Deck. Recently, I pre-ordered as well.
Yeah.
Oh, you did that as well.
Yeah, and that took a couple hours, but I got there.
Same, actually. You know, it's funny. I think it was the Series X. I forgot where I got it from, but I ordered like day one, and I was refreshing on my PC, and I couldn't get through. I opened up my MacBook one try, and it went through for some reason on the Wi-Fi. I don't know what it was. Oh, but
I just thought of this story for the Xbox Series X too. So for, I think Series X came out November 10th and then the PlayStation 5 November 12th. So November 12th, I got it day of, but November 10th, I'm sitting at home. I'm waiting all day because it required a signature.
Yeah.
All day. I'm literally just sitting right by the front door. Just wait. I'm like, it's getting really late. We're getting close here to them. And then all of a sudden I get a notification on my phone saying that an hour ago they attempted to deliver it, but nobody was home. And I went, no way. Because you'd been reading these stories about people getting stuff stolen.
Yeah.
I'm like, no way. And then I'm, you know, calling, you know, where it said the Xbox Series X went. And then the person said, no, no, we don't have it. So I was panicking.
Oh, yeah.
But fortunately, the next morning I called again. And that same place said, oh, yeah, yeah, we do have it. And it was 8 minutes from my house. Drove there, picked it up the day after, and could not have been more relieved. But I was so scared. I'm like,
they probably just went to a family that's never touched a game in their life. Like, what is this box?
Or someone, you know, could have stolen it because I know that was a thing that was going on too, which is crazy. Yeah, so
straight off the trucks.
But fortunately, I was good to go and I ended up getting it because both new consoles are amazing.
And imagine there wasn't digital games to buy. We'd have to go to the stores, and in a pandemic would be even worse.
Yeah.
So a couple other questions. Back to Halo.
Yeah.
Favorite Halo weapon combo?
Ooh, favorite Halo weapon combo is probably, let me think.
BR.
So, BR's there. I'm just trying to think of the next one. You know, you could say, I mean, I think maybe the most deadly combo is the BR with the plasma pistol. But I do really, really like having a battle rifle and then either an SMG or a shotgun as well. Mm-hmm. So SMG in a panicked situation, and shotgun if you shoot the guy with the BR a little bit and maybe he's a little bit better and you go hide behind a corner and they go, oh, I'm gonna smoke this guy, and then there you are with the shotgun ready to go. So I like those combinations.
I only played Halo for fun, but as a guy that played for fun and not and wasn't really serious about it, I love the Needler.
The Needler's great.
So cool. Such a good, cool concept.
Yep. Needler's amazing.
Yeah.
And Splitgate, they're saying, is only 25% done because they haven't made a Needler-type weapon yet. But I'm surprised that game hasn't been sued because it literally is Halo exactly. Plays even smoother at times with portals in it. And I'm just like, how are they getting away with this?
Right.
But, I'm telling you, you got to play it.
I know.
Least favorite Halo game.
Least favorite Halo game. Okay, so this is actually a two-part answer.
Well, I think I know it, but go ahead.
Because I have a least favorite multiplayer and a least favorite campaign. Mm-hmm. So believe it or not, because to me, Halo campaigns are incredible. And as a matter of fact, there's not one campaign that I don't like. I've enjoyed all of them. But if I had to pick a least favorite, I would say Halo 5's campaign, which is ironically the game that got me so obsessed with video games. But when you go back and play the other ones, you realize how amazing they were. But my least favorite multiplayer was Halo 4's multiplayer because it was very much, and I know the Halo community felt this way, but it really tried to be Call of Duty in a lot of ways.
The breakout mode was my favorite. That was the only mode I enjoyed playing on it.
Right. So, but ironically, again, the funniest thing about this is Halo 4's campaign is one of the best campaigns of all time. And Halo 5's multiplayer is my personal favorite Halo multiplayer. So just those two on those ends were my least favorite of the entire series. And as I'm saying that, I have played the crap out of all of them and really do love all the Halo games.
If you co-op them again, you let me know.
Yeah, we'll do.
One of my friends, David, he moved to Cleveland. I think it was 4, had the online co-op. It was the first one to have online co-op.
Yeah.
And we went through it like 10 hours straight. It was pure heaven. And so those are probably the last shooters I remember a good, because I haven't played any of the last like 4 Call of Duty single player.
Yeah.
I used to play them all. I'm like, there's probably some crazy scene. Just go straight to multiplayer and BRs have changed how everything works. And so I'm excited for that. Kenny, any gaming questions for Adam?
Ooh, that's a lot of options.
You get two.
Yeah. Okay. So we sort of touched on this actually earlier today, talking about time and how to divvy it up and how to spend it.
Yeah.
We all know that retro games, especially, take, generally speaking, a lot less time to finish, to experience from start to finish.
Yeah.
So is there a retro game or series or something that you have not played, but that you've heard is great and or would just like to try?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter really what system or generation it is. You could go as far back as Atari 2600 if you want. But
yeah.
Yeah. What would that be?
So this is so crazy to say because I have played and beaten so many games in this franchise.
Yep.
I have never gotten further than 2 hours into this game, mm-hmm. and I've definitely never beaten it. The Legend of Zelda: A Link to the Past.
Oh wow! Oh,
okay.
Which is
a great answer.
Embarrassing to say because it's so legendary,
and but it was really it's so available as well.
Right, right. Yeah. So, man, I played like at that point in my life, I was playing a lot of when we did get a Super Nintendo. It was I've beaten Super Mario World like 400 times, I think.
Yeah.
All the Donkey Kongs. Super Mario RPG is one of my favorite RPGs of all time. So, but yeah, the Link to the Past, I still have not beaten start to finish.
So. You played any other Zelda games?
Ocarina of Time is incredible. Majora's Mask is incredible. I'm really far in Skyward Sword right now. Twilight Princess, I still need to finish, but I got pretty far. Nice. Breath of the Wild was incredible.
All right, then what's your top three? That's my second question for Zelda games.
Yes. So number one is Ocarina of Time.
Okay.
Number two is Breath of the Wild.
Mm-hmm.
And number three. Oh,
my
gosh.
So fucking different than yours.
Okay. Wow. I got it for sure. It's Ocarina of Time, Breath of the Wild, and then Link's Awakening.
There we go. That's what I wanted to hear.
That one is nice. Amazing.
Yeah. He's going to say Oracle of Ages, the 3DO game.
No. Close. Yeah. So for me, this is just my list.
Right.
And I've played all of them except for Legend of Zelda 2, the side-scrolling one.
Yep. Yeah.
I've not played that one. And you know, I never played the Minish Cap, which I really want to.
I
want to
play that.
Because that's the one it was built by Capcom. So it's a very, very rare thing to say. So it's probably cool. But Link's Awakening, number one.
Yeah, very good.
Then I would say for me, just follow along. For me, Wind Waker.
Hey, oh, nice.
And then number three, this is really fucking oddball one.
The train one.
Close. Yeah. Not Spirit Tracks, but Phantom Hourglass.
Phantom Hourglass. Yeah.
Nice.
I loved it.
Yep.
I started Link Between Worlds, but I haven't finished. I got through like an hour or so into it.
Funny enough, about 5 days ago on my 3DS, I bought Oracle of Ages and Oracle of Seasons because I've never played through those.
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, I played those. Yeah,
those are fun. Yeah. Those are really good.
How do you have time to hang out with Britt?
So, right? I know.
So, does she play anything, honestly?
So
she's doing a lot of events. She's always gone.
She sure is. She loves that PlayStation 2. N64 era of games. So like Kingdom Hearts, she loves.
Oh, you told me. Yeah.
DK64. One of my favorite moments in our entire relationship was I was on the road and I had come back. I was gone for like 5 days and I went upstairs in our little one bedroom apartment that we lived in. And she was there sitting Indian style on the floor with her legs crossed and the controller in her hand. And she had went out and bought Kingdom Hearts 3. And it was the day that it came out.
Nice.
And for her to be just sitting there, and I said hello, and she went, "Oh, yeah, hey, what's up?" I just kept playing. I'm like, "This is amazing! I'm so happy right now.
Yeah.
I'm so happy."
Speaking real quick, Super Mario RPG is one of my favorites.
Yes.
So I played all the Bowser or the Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga games.
Yeah, another good one.
But I'm not sure how much you dive into the gaming mod scene. But it's called Super Mario RPG Armageddon, where they made it a super hard mode and they added bosses from other games. So there's like a Dark Souls boss. There's a
no way.
Oh, you just look it up on you. Just watch it. Yeah. The first boss is Rosalina from Mario game. Yeah. And she's just giant on the screen. It's it's a really cool mod out there. But
awesome.
I think last question, what is the most shocking and disappointing you've been playing a game? Was there a game you played? And here's a easy answer from me is, No Man's Sky, when they had the trailer blow everyone away and then the game came out. But for me to understand the dev side of things, for them to still spend multiple years to make it right, and now it's an incredible game. But that took a couple years.
Yeah.
Is there a game you played that you were so looking forward to and you're just like, man, like...
So this is kind of a funny story. I'll never forget this because me, my brother, and my cousin still talk about this to this day. Is, again, the one thing we all had in common was we liked to game together.
Yep.
And we decided we were going to go to Blockbuster. And we were going to rent a game that we had never played before. And I think we hadn't spent time together for like 3 months. We were so excited. And we decided to ask the guy who was working there what game we should rent. And this guy said, "Kids, trust me. I got it." He walked right over and he went, "This game right here." And I wish so bad. It was a Godzilla fighter. of some sort.
King of Monsters?
I wish so bad I remembered the actual name of it. But it was a Godzilla game, and we were giddy. We went and got slushies.
I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And we're so excited. We get home to play it. And literally, my cousin could have cried. He was like, this game sucks. He's so
was
upset.
Was it the Nintendo? Wait, which one? Which system?
It was PlayStation era.
Oh, PlayStation?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But somewhat a full circle moment is years later, mm-hmm. like 4 years later, mm-hmm. we went back to that same Blockbuster. And he was there. And we said, said, let's ask him what game we should rent. And he suggested that game again.
So rude. I swear to God. So he was probably screwing with you guys. It's like the Battletoads. You call GameStop. Right. Do you have Battletoads in stock? They're like, who stopped calling us here?
Right.
Imagine you went back and it was a BT episode. And he's like, what game should we get? He says, and that's just you and the Bucks super kicking him.
Right.
You're like, screw your game. And you walk out.
Exactly.
That's awesome, man. You know, it's a pleasure to meet you in person and be a friend of yours. And just we're going to put stuff together in the future, man.
I hope so.
Twitch.tv, The Chugs.
Yes.
Your schedule, people can just follow you basically and stuff. And then obviously loved your AEW debut. Mm-hmm. Any last thing you want to say to the gamers out there that are from both worlds, wrestling and gaming?
Yeah. I mean, specifically for the community that's involved with me, I make sure that I tell them this all the time, but I think it's important to make sure I say it over and over again, because it is how I feel. They've turned something that I'm so passionate about in video games, and with the community that we've formed, they've turned it into something that, again, I've said before, I will never give it up. And the reason I'll never give it up is because of the bond that I have with a lot of these people. Just a quick little story. I played FF7 Remake right when it came out. And then I streamed FF7 Remake, and streaming it was so much better. Like, it was so cool for a scene to happen, or a boss battle to happen, or a great track in the game happening. And
greatest soundtrack ever.
It was so good. Yeah. And then going over and talking to the chat. So I love being involved in the gaming community. I'm really, really excited to see what the future holds.
That's awesome. Well, you know, the beauty of Tony Khan and AEW is they know you guys are going to kick ass and put in the work, and then your free time is your free time to have fun.
Right.
But they come together. So can you say your catchphrase just one time for the podcast?
Of course I can. You know what? As a matter of fact, I think I'll even whisper it. Whisper it. Adam Cole, baby.
Love it, man. Well, Adam, thank you. Kenny, special guest as always. Excited for the future, man. Excited for you to be a part of the family.
Thanks, man.
Hopefully we can all do some with Xavier together one day.
I know. I hope so.
I'm excited for that. But looking forward to it, man.
Adam Cole, thank you
so much, man. Guys, thanks for tuning in. This is a very special podcast for me. Adam Cole, good dude. Follow them on AEW. Please follow his Twitch channel. Halo. We're going to play Halo, especially when we should do the co-op together. Have fun with that.
But
all right, till next time, guys, take care of yourselves, and I'll see you around.